If you want to stand to your feet and move around a little bit, we'll be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse 12, and we'll just read down through the end of the chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. That ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believed. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or a crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. You may be seated. Just for a little bit this afternoon, let's think about receiving the word of God. Because as we look at the Thessalonians and we've been studying about them, I think one of the things that God really blessed them with and helped them to grow as a church is how that they received the word of God when it came. And he mentions that here, as he has mentioned it already in chapter 1. If you go back to chapter 1, let's just be reminded of what he said there after giving his greeting in verse 1 of chapter 1. Remember what he said in verse 2, how we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So there was something about these Thessalonians, that the way that they received this word of God when it came, how they received the gospel. They received it even in much affliction, in much persecution, from, as he says in the text that we've looked at today, in spite of the pressure and the chastisement of their own countrymen. They were receiving this word. They were receiving this gospel with joy in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance and in power. And so as we look at ourselves as a church and as the people of God, we ask ourselves, how am I receiving the word of God? Am I like these Thessalonians? Am I receiving this word as it is the word of God, as it is the word of truth? And how is it, what impact is it having on me and in my life? Because I think as we look at the Thessalonians, we see it was having an impact in their life. And so we want the word of God to impact us in our lives, in every area of our life. How I work, how I parent, how I am in my relationship with my spouse, how I interact with my brothers and sisters in Christ. We want the word of God to impact every area of our life so that we may be able to do like Paul said, and that whatever we do, whether we eat or even drink, that we would do it all to the glory of God. And so something as simple as eating or drinking or doing your chores or doing your homework, whatever it is, you want to do it in such a way that it brings glory to God, and a way that can help us be able to do that and equip us to do that is, are we listening to the word of God and are we receiving it in? So let's look at three things this afternoon very briefly. Number one, and I like this first thought here, the joy of the preacher when people receive the Word of God. Right? It's a great burden and a great honor and a great zeal to preach God's Word and to share God's Word with people. And it is such a delight, and it causes us such gratefulness and thankfulness when the people of God receive the Word of God when it's preached. When they receive it not as your Word, but as it is in truth the Word of God. And you can tell that they receive it in, that they embrace it, that they believe in it, and then you start to see how they apply it to their lives. It brings great joy to the minister of God's Word. And so number one, we see here the joy of the preacher when people receive the Word of God. Paul said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God." So what delighted him was not that they were Paulites, right, or that they were Silasites, or that they were Timotheusites, but that they were Christians, and that they were students of the Word of God, and that they were receiving this Word that they were preaching, not as the Word of Paul, not as the Word of Silas, not as the Word of Timothy, not as the Word of Marvin, not as the Word of Brady, not as the Word of any man, but as it is the Word of God. You believe that this is God's Word, and as it is God's Word, it is truth. And you have an obligation to receive it and believe it and be obedient to it. And when you do that, it brings great joy to the ministers of God's Word. And it brings them great sorrow when they see you reject the Word of God and you don't embrace it and people don't believe it. So he says, just like he said in the beginning, that this gives us unceasing gratefulness and unceasing thankfulness. Paul was always showing his thankfulness and his gratefulness for what God was doing in the lives of other people. And so he says it here. We have great cause to be thankful to God, and we do it without stopping. We're always giving thanks no matter where we go. We're giving thanks to God, whether it's in public or it's in private devotion. Thank you, God, for causing these Thessalonians to receive the Word of God in this way. Even in much affliction, they're receiving it with joy in the Holy Ghost, and they're receiving it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is having an effect in their life. You know, we don't come here just to give good lectures. We don't come here just to give good points. We don't come here just to give motivational speeches. We want to have good points. We want to motivate you. We want to be sound in our preaching and teaching. We try to study the best we can to be prepared. But we're here to stir you up in the faith. We're here to give you the Word of God, and for you to receive the Word of God, and for you to have a desire to apply this Word to your life. That's what our desire is. And so I can say the same with Paul, that I give thanks to be a part of a body of believers where the Word of God is received, where the Word of God is loved, where the Word of God is talked about and discussed, where the Word of God I see being lived out in people's lives. That's not to be taken for granted. And I am thankful, and Brady is thankful, and I know Pastor Jerry was grateful all the years that he preached and taught the Word of God here, how well that it was received, and how well that it was believed, and how well that it was followed, even when it cost greatly. And so I pray that will continue to be the case here. And I just encourage you, and I encourage myself, let's listen to the Word of God. Let's receive it in a way that will give joy, most of all to God, that we are receiving His Word. But also it'll be a great joy to the ministers of His Word when we listen to what God is saying. In another place, just as another example of how Paul would say this, you go over to Romans chapter 1. And he says here, when he was speaking to the Romans about his longing to go to Rome, He says in verse 8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." So just like the people at Thessalonica, same way in Rome, he was just giving thanks to God that they had received the word, that they were growing, and that their faith was not just evident by what they said, but it was evident by how that they were living. Their faith was known, was spoken of throughout the whole world. And he gave thanks, never ceased to give thanks for that to God. Secondly, we see here the manner in which we are to receive the word of God. Not only does it just give great joy to those that preach it when it's received, but we are to receive it in a certain way. And he says this is what he was thankful for about the Thessalonians. He says, "When ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." We got to receive this word not as, again, as Marvin's word, as Brady's word, as any other man's word. It is the word of God, and it is to be received in that way. We are the messengers. We are the heralders of the word of God. And we have faults and failings. You see a man, you see a sinner up here, and I will have failings and shortcomings even in the preaching of the word of God. I will make mistakes. But you are to look beyond that, and you are to look past that, and you are to receive the word as it is in the truth, as it is in truth. Don't receive the error, but receive the truth as the word of God. That is the manner in which we are to receive it. Not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. You know, I'm afraid that a lot of the preaching that's done in a lot of places, that it's not the word of God that's being preached at all. And we don't want that to be the case here. And we have a great desire to preach, "Thus saith the word of God," as much as possible. If all we can do is just stand up and read to you God's word, that's beneficial to your soul. And we should be doing much more than that. But it doesn't need to be our opinion. It doesn't need to be what we think is best so that you can live a life of luxury and ease and wealth and health and prosperity. It needs to be, this is what the word of God says, and this is what will be best for your life, because it is God's word, and God's word is the best. God's way is the best. So he was rejoicing not just that they listened to Paul and that they were following him, but they were listening to the gospel. They were listening to God's words, and they were following it. And so this is the manner in which we are to receive the word of God. It is the word of God, because it is from him. He is the originator of it. He is the author of it. In fact, John Gill says, "It is called the word of God because God is the author of it. It comes from him and is ministered by his authority, and is a part of that written word which is given by his inspiration. And because his grace in choosing, redeeming, justifying, pardoning, adopting, regenerating, and giving eternal life to men, and the declaration of his will concerning saving them by his Son Jesus Christ are the subject matter of it." This is the word of God. He is the author of it. He is the subject of it. And he is the one who is in it as it is proclaimed. And he is who we are pointing you toward. So it is the word of God, the word of God. And this is why it's powerful. It is not just the word of men. If all we can bring to you is our word, there's no power. There's no power. We can talk good. We can talk smooth. We can come up with all these ideas and philosophies. But if we don't speak the word of God to you, there's no power for it in your life. Because the only power is in God himself, not of man. And so Paul was excited, not because they were receiving it as the words of Paul and Silas and Timothy, And that now that they had followers, because that's what the Jews were concerned with. The Jews were concerned with making proselytes of them. Who's going to follow us and what we have said to them? They're following us. Paul is very different. He is concerned not with who is following him, but who is following God. Who is listening to the Word of God? Just a couple of scriptures. In the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. If you look at the early church, what was so powerful about the early church is, yes, the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit in them, but it was the Word of God. It was how they received the Word of God and what the Word of God did in their lives. You know, it just gives us a picture of them here in Acts chapter 2. But after Peter preached the gospel, and he says in verse 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For your promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And look what it says about them in verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word," or the word of God, right? The word which he preached. When they gladly received it, with joy they received this word. It brought them happiness. When they gladly received his word, were baptized. And the same, they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then look what it says about them and how that they gladly received the Word of God. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship." They were steadfast in receiving this Word. Let's read it. Let's study it. Let's talk about it. What does it mean? What does it mean for me in my life? This is what we want. And in the breaking of bread and in prayers, "and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." This was the result of them gladly receiving the Word of God, as the Word of God, and not as the Word of men. Not like what it says in Acts chapter 13. Verse 46, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and says, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." And then what does it say in verse 19? "And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region." Shows you that they gladly received the word, and then what the effect that it had on them. When you gladly receive the word of God, as the word of God, you start to publish it. You start to speak about it. You start to live it out in your life. And then a great example of how the Word of God is received and the difference that it makes is in the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. Let's just look at that again, because this is the effect that it has when the Word of God comes, when it's gladly received. You remember the story here, how the Philippian jailer had put them into prison, how he had beaten them and how he had given them many stripes and put them fast in the stocks. And then the Lord saves him, and he's converted. And if you just go on down to verse 30, when he asked the questions after all this happens, where all the prison doors are open, and he's afraid for his own life, and he cries out, and it says, "And brought them out," in verse 30, "and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So here's a person who's been convicted, and he's asking this question. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his house straightway. That's the difference. You go from someone who was beating them and giving them these stripes to someone who hears the word of God, gladly receives it because of the work of the Holy Spirit in his life, and he goes and he takes them home and he washes the very stripes, takes care of the very wounds that he had given them. That's the power of the word of God and its effect, as we'll see, in our life. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So this is how the word of God is to be received. It is to be received as the word of God, not as the word of men, but as it is the word of God in truth. In truth, this is God's word and not our own. So that is the manner in which we are to receive the word of God. And there's many places that you could look in the scriptures that give support to this very point. But thirdly, let's look at the powerful effects when we receive the word of God. Just as an example, we saw it right there, what happens in the life when we receive the word of God. But what about you in your life and how you're receiving the word of God? What happens in your life when you joyfully and gladly receive the word of God as it's preached? There's a change, right? Conversion takes place. Conversion over and over and over again. The converting of you from a sinner and living a sinful life to living a holy life, a life that glorifies and honors the Lord. As we see in the Thessalonians, this is what was changing them. It was the word of God. It was changing them. For this cause also we thank we God without ceasing, because this was the reason why, when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When we receive the word of God in the manner in which we're supposed to, it has an effectual working in us. It has a cause and effect, right? We don't just come and hear the word of God preached and then we go home unchanged. If we come to this place hungering and thirsting after the word of God and desiring to be filled, then when we hear the word of God preached and we gladly receive it and we're filled with joy, we go home changed. We go home different. We go home with a song on our tongue and a great zeal and desire to live for the glory of God. If that's not the case, then there's something wrong. We're not receiving it like we should be. It effectually worketh also in you that believe. The word effectually worketh means to be operative, be at work, put forth power, to display one's activity, show one's self operative. So there is something going on here. There is operation. There is power that is happening. The word of God operates on us. The word of God has an effect on us. It literally does surgery on us, on our hard hearts, our cold hearts, and our sinful hearts. And it effectually worketh in us obedience, righteousness, holiness, peace. All these things happen when we receive the word of God in the proper manner. So he was giving thanks. Why? Because they received the word of God, not from men, but as of God, and because it was effectually working in them that believed. As he said, the Thessalonians showed as an example when he said in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 1, we give thanks to God always for you, always making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. This is what happens to us when we receive the Word of God the right way. These things happen in our life. Work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Word of God has a powerful effect in our lives when it is gladly received. So you ask the question about yourself. How am I receiving God's Word? Whether it's listening to the preaching, whether it's listening it through sermon audio, whether it's reading it, because even in the reading of it, there's a receiving of it, or are you just reading it to get it done? A lot of times we might can do that. But are you reading it intently to get out of it what God is trying to speak to you? Are you coming here to church asking God, what are you trying to say to me? How are you speaking to me today? What do I need to listen for? Or are you just here because it's your duty to be here? Are you just here to be a part of a social group? Are you just here so that you can nitpick everybody else and pick apart the preacher? Or are you listening to God speaking to you and what you would need to listen and to hear from God? Because the Word of God is only going to effectually work in those that receive the Word of God as the Word of God and not as the Word of men. So just some examples. Colossians chapter 1. Again, Paul says here to the Colossians, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, and as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth." Here was the same thing was happening at Colossae. The Word of God was being received, and it was bringing forth fruit in their lives since the day they heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. What does the writer of Hebrews say in Hebrews chapter 4 about the Word of God? If you start in verse 11, says Hebrews 4:11, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." When you gladly receive the Word of God is going to have an effect on you. It's going to cut. It's going to cut into you. It's going to cut you. And it's going to sharpen you. And it's going to have a powerful effect on you. It is going to be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. And so you're going to be challenged by it. And that's what we want. That's what we want. We want to be challenged and sharpened and cut by this Word. What did Peter say in 1 Peter chapter 2? First Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." We're to desire this Word. And if we're desiring this Word, then we're going to receive it gladly. And he tells us that when we receive it gladly, we're going to be able to grow thereby. The song that the children sing, "Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. That's the desire that we want to have. We want to be reading our Bibles, receiving what the Word says, because it's got to be more than just reading it. Receiving what it says and having a desire to obey it, that ye may grow thereby. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? If you have, then you'll desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And then lastly, let's look at 1 John chapter 5. You could really read the whole epistle of 1 John, and it's talking about this whole subject. But I love the synopsis here in 1 John chapter 5. So let's read verses 1 through 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Believing this word, receiving this word, it's going to cause your faith to grow. Your faith to grow. And you're going to be able to overcome, as it says here, the world. Overcome the world. So receiving the word's pretty important. It's pretty important. It's going to bring joy to the preacher. It's going to give glory to God. And it's going to cause your faith to grow. So I love this verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I pray that we can live this out at Fellowship Church. That you can live this out in your life. That you would be one that would receive the Word of God whenever it's preached, not as the Word of men. And you won't come up and say that I enjoyed what you had to say. Say, I enjoyed what God had to say. You receive it as the Word of God, as it is in the truth, and you'll realize the effect, and you will see the effect of it in your life.